This is Rain Classic Hamcast number 45, posted July 10th, 2021 on the rainreport.com, voiced by Will Rogers, K5WLR. This time we conclude the conversation Rain's Hapali, KC9RP, had with Alex Musica, KQ2H, the man and mind behind his KQ2H 10-meter FM repeater in the Catskill Mountains of New York on 29.620 megahertz. First, a slight correction. While 29610 to 29690 megahertz is allocated for 10-meter FM repeaters, it should be noted here that the traditional 10-meter FM repeater pairs total only four in all: 29.620, 640, 660, and 680, each with an input 100 kHz down, some requiring PL access. According to Alex, he has three receive sites on his 10-meter FM machine, two that require a 146.2 Hz PL access, and a third receiver that doesn't.
They're all connected to the voter. The strongest signal is selected by the voter, but in order for you to access all of them, you need to run PL tone because one out of three is carrier squelch. So when you're just running no PL, you're not voting. You just lose your ability to possibly get a better signal into the repeater by doing so. If you run PL, you get into all three of them. I also was involved in other little things that most of us would never consider or ever think would work. Portable radios, they work really well. I have a few Motorola, some Kenwood commercial low band 30 megahertz radios that I tuned down or reprogrammed to 10 meters, tuned the antennas correctly on a field strength meter, did whatever to get them to work correctly on 10 meters. Other people have done the same and would check in from Phoenix and South Florida with portables and using the rubber duck antennas. I've done the same. I've worked repeaters in the Carolinas or so, short, sporadic e-skip using the portable. There are portable operations. They have these big antennas, probably like loaded CB whips or little dipoles, little backpack radios, but never something small that you just fit in your pocket. I had a Keynote pager that was on 33 megahertz. It was a Fire pager. Has been modified to have a little squelch board in it. The pager is less than half a pack of cigarettes. It runs on a single AAA battery. It has a little tiny loopstick antenna. I modified them to work on 10 meters and receive well. And one of the things that would always fascinate me was visiting my brother-in-law down in Davies, Florida, in the morning. And I was just sitting in the living room having coffee. And right on the coffee table, you know, right in the middle, was that little pager. Lo and behold, the band opened up and I heard my repeater loud and clear on a little tiny device like that with a loopstick antenna that's probably half an inch to three quarters of an inch long inside that unit. I can buy a Minotaur 2-pager, which is probably very inexpensive. You might be able to get one for $20 or less. And you could even set up the little, what they call the permacode filters in there. Receiving the repeater, I can encode a two-tone sequential AB tone and actually beep it, make it page. All that's available. The gotcha is that International Crystal Company, Bomar Crystal, Martin, Crystaltronics, their bread and butter business was making small crystals for crystal controlled pagers. They are all out of business. There's no crystal manufacturer left that I'm aware of in the United States. With that being said, you know, Motorola moved on to the Minotaur 6 series of pager. Those are all synthesized, computer programmable. I have one on 2 meters. That you can program up on a computer easily. No crystals required. But there are no manufacturers that really make a programmable low-band pager. A lot of municipalities are going to 700 megahertz or UHF. All the 46 and 33 megahertz Fire paging stuff is dying, and it's gone. I have two pagers that I have on 10 meters. One of them is a Minotaur 2. That's designed to be a pager. It has a squelch circuit, smaller than a pack of cigarettes, maybe like a half a pack or something. It's really tiny. And then there's one that's even smaller. It's called the Keynote. It's about the height of a AAA battery, maybe 2 or 3 inches wide. It's very tiny. And the problem with them, they never had a squelch circuit. There was one company that made a tiny squelch adapter for them. So they were talking this back in the 90s. You could modify that to, you know, be like a monitor receiver. But it's PNW Communications. They're out of business too. So that little board is no longer made.
This is the Indian computer lady, girlfriend of KB2CXJ. I welcome you to the KQ2H repeater, New York.
The Minotaur 2 is one of those fire pagers that was originally on 3396, like in the 33 megahertz range. And it was pretty easy. There was not much to do to bring it down to 2962. I think all I did was I just got a crystal and maybe at the pad a capacitor, you know, so the antenna would tune a little better. But it wasn't that impossible or that big of a deal to do. I even have a Minotaur 2 that I brought down to 2 meters. And again, I had to change a few little chip capacitors so that it would tune correctly. That receiver, and that is hot as a pistol, better than the crystal one. But again, no crystals, they become a paperweight. Like I say, you're out of luck when it comes with pagers. Between crystals and obsolescence, you're not going to find one. A better solution would be not a pager, but something that's ever so slightly larger than a pager, and that's one of those Motorola portables. Those you can still get. They're not crystal controlled. They are programmable. What I do is I get an uncut low-band rubber ducky antenna. I'll sit there with a field strength meter, and I'll drop little pieces of ferrite in there, because the antenna, with the, even uncut, they're tuned to around 31 megahertz or so. They're tuned a little high, and the ferrite brings them right down to 29.6, 29.5 megahertz. I'll just drop some hot glue in there to keep the ferrite from falling out, put the antenna cap on. With a resonant antenna like that, a portable is probably better if you want to just put that on, let's say, your dining room table. And when the band is open, you'll hear the repeater or whatever come in. Something that you can carry with you, it's handheld. If you go out somewhere, you'll actually use that. That's probably your better bet. Unless I could find crystals for a Minotaur or one of those receivers, I don't think it's even possible. Another, you had asked about why I enjoyed it. The repeater, besides discovering strange things such as the PL tone buzzing or the audio echoes, I've heard other strange propagation. I remember being down in Ohio, too far for a ground wave signal. And I always listen. I always have the radio on. And I would hear my friend, and his call was KB2KUU. I would hear an opening so brief where I would hear KB2KUU, you know, that's like the second U is already cut out, it would drop. Or I would hear, like, for example, a suffix of the call sign and the courtesy tone of the repeater, and then it would drop out. So there were multiple band openings that probably were caused by meteor scatter or some strange atmospheric conditions where you have a good, clear band opening. It just appears instantaneously, and as quickly as it appears, it goes away. I used to hear that quite a bit on 10 meters over the years, something that I found really fascinating about that band and FM propagation. It's fun. I like playing with it, although sometimes it gets to a point where it's excessive. My biggest gripe, go through the effort of making sure that all the audio levels across the system are balanced and sound the same and pretty much transparent where you go on. It takes a lot of effort. At least some of these guys spend a little time and effort to get a radio that sounds good rather than spending $25 on some Chinese piece of garbage. They don't know how to use it. The level is low or it's all muffled. Very mid-rangey, becomes muffled and compressed. To me, that's sort of a slap in the face. I spent a lot of effort and time to get the audio. So it may not be something that everyone understands or realizes or sees, but I mean, come on, guys. I spent a lot more than $25 trying to keep this thing working between electric bills and parts and this and that. You could at least do me a solid here and get a radio that sounds good. That doesn't sound narrow band or something stupid like that. This isn't amateur basket weaving. This isn't amateur video. This is radio.
You're listening to a conversation with Alex Musica, KQ2H, trustee of the 29.620 megahertz 10 meter FM repeater in Wurtsboro, New York. Happ will conclude his chat with Alex after you identify your station. This is the Rain Classic Hamcast number 45 for July 10th, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
Greetings from the beautiful Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. This is KQ2H Repeater.
If you really want to put things in perspective, the amateur repeaters are co-located or part of a large DMR Connect Plus system that I take care of, and that has hundreds of repeaters, literally, no exaggerations, throughout New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New England, and I maintain that as well. Radio is probably third or fourth on the list. It's not my primary hobby. It was back in the day when I was working on broadcast equipment, a big TV transmitter. They put out 35 kilowatts, but there was enough of a difference between that and ham radio that it was more interesting. I had more enthusiasm doing it, but now if I have to deal with the two-way world with customers and police departments that are, you know, prima donnas, and everything has to work, and God forbid there's a little bit of noise in one little place, and the people like that drive me nuts. You think the noise or ham radio is a problem, but, you know, you have certain customers that are a pain in the butt. After dealing with that, the last thing I want to do is play with radios when I get home.
Was 29620 allocated to you, and who does the allocation of 10-meter FM repeaters in New England today?
Good question. I don't think anyone is actively doing much of anything as far as frequency coordination. Years ago, it used to be the Tri-State Amateur Repeater Council, TSARC. I don't believe they exist to this day, and if they do, they're certainly back in the heyday. For a while, I was actually the 10 and 6-meter frequency coordinator for them. There were several repeaters I've coordinated for 10 and 6 meters. Back then, it seemed like there's more interest in 6 meters than there was in 10. There are band openings, but yet no one talks on 10 meters, talks on 6 meters, unless the band is like really open for a long time, then I guess news spreads. But my finding is that there are times the band is open, there's no one to talk to. On 10 meters especially, I noticed when there is a band opening, say roughly 50 or 60 miles from the transmit location, the PL tone will get very loud and it'll start buzzing. That is caused by time domain interference between the direct brown wave signal from the transmitter to my mobile radio, and signal that goes out, let's say, over the Atlantic Ocean reflects and comes back. And it comes back at some strange time shift, delay, multipath, phase, and the first type of audio that gets distorted is PL tone. Then as it gets worse and worse, then the speech will get distorted. There are times I remember when this was so bad, when we had the F-skip openings, I actually shut the PL encoder off, because all I heard were loud buzzing within 10 miles or so of the transmit location.
Greetings from the beautiful Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. This is KQ2H Repeater.
There are also times where I would be driving and I would hear, for example, your voice, Hap, is very distinguishable. For example, you'd be talking on a repeater, but I would not understand what you're saying. It would be like, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, I know it's you, but I have no idea what you're saying. And then when I heard the CW ID, I realized what was I heard echo. I would hear the courtesy tone twice. I would hear the, like, KQ2H would be no longer KQ2H. It would just be like a random bunch of dots and dashes, the original CW ID, and then you'd hear the echo coming right after, and it would just indistinguishable. These conditions that I just described allow me to realize that there is a band opening on 10 meters, but there is no one on. No one's talking. There are a few users. They are a few that are diehards. And they will get on if they realize that the band is open. But it is open a whole lot more than we are led to believe. It's just not that much activity.
And that is a valid issue. The band may be open. But unless you're actually hearing the beacons, 28.2 to 28.3, you never know if the band was open. I love your courtesy beep. It sounds like I'm on American Airlines, and the pilot clicks on and tells the passengers, "Ladies and gentlemen, I will turn off the fastened seatbelt sign. You're free to wander about the cabin." It's that two-tone
chime.
How is it that you acquired that for your repeater?
Unfortunately, I cannot take any credit for that. That was the courtesy tone, as well as I can remember, because I have asked many people past 15, 20 years, if anyone has a recording of the Virgin Islands repeater, 2966, when it was on the air. That was the courtesy tone or the chime they used. From my memory, I try to reconstruct it with my controller. That was the inspiration, was them. And if anyone listening to this podcast happens to have a recording of a QSO on that machine, I would love to hear it, because I would like to recreate that courtesy tone exactly. That was the inspiration. That was the reason why I have it. And sort of as a courtesy in memory of a repeater that was probably one of the best 10-meter repeaters that I enjoyed and used and worked very well, and unfortunately is no longer on the air.
If anyone wants to contact you, who should they write?
Just email me, kq2h@yahoo.com. kq2h@yahoo.com. I always get some kind of correspondence. Whenever the band opens, those emails start coming in.
Do you send out QSL cards?
Oh, no, I don't have QSL cards. I haven't done that ever since I was a kid.
Greetings from the beautiful Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. This is KQ2H Repeater.
This concludes our time with Alex Musica, KQ2H, longtime trustee of his Catskill Mountain 10-meter FM repeater, which transmits on 29.620 megahertz from Wurtsboro, New York. So what does Alex do when he's not maintaining multiple repeaters around New England? Restoring old kerosene lamps and cooking stoves. If you access Alex's 10-meter box, tell him Hap sent you, and don't forget to turn your 146.2 hertz PL tone on when you do so. Rain's Classic Hamcast number 46 will post July 24th, 2021 on therainreport.com and on YouTube. More about that next time. The Rain Classic Hamcast is produced by Hap Holly, KC9RP, and is copyright 1985-2021 Rain. All rights reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license and may be transmitted in its entirety over amateur radio. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!